And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this second week of December, the week starting Saturday, December the 7th, Sunday, December the 8th. The podcast is posting on the 7th. And so a wonderful thing that the Lord continues to do with the podcast. Today in the podcast, we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter number 10. 2 Samuel chapter number 10, and we're going to begin reading down at verse number 6. So after the men have come back, or they've started back, they've sent word to David saying, we got a problem. He shaved off half our beards and he cut off half our garments, tore our waist even, and we're really ashamed to make our way back to Jerusalem. And so they stay at Jericho until that grows back. And they get other garments, I'm sure. But verse number 6, and when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob, and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the chosen men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Okay, that's where I'm going to stop reading. We'll talk more about the battle here in a little bit. We may read down a little bit further. But I want to stop at what Joab just said. Now, Joab is often maligned, and we've talked about Joab before. He's one of the sons of Zeruiah that were too hard for David. We've talked about that. We've spent some time studying the sons of Zeruiah and what that was and who they were and all that. Well, I'm not going to rehash all that. I will recap just simply this, that Joab was David's nephew, and very possibly Joab was older than David. Now, that can be a little difficult to have happen, but I know of some people who have nieces and nephews who are older than they are. I do know of some people that are that have that situation where the nephew or the niece was born before their uncle or aunt. And that happens, not very frequently, but it does happen, especially in larger families or in families where the kids are really spread out. You know, if you've got 20 years between kids, and that happens, that has happened, if you've got 20 years between kids, it's very possible for there to be someone who is born an uncle or born an aunt. And here, David very possibly could have been. Now, the Bible's not clear about that. The Bible isn't clear about that, but the sons of Zeruiah, Zeruiah being David's sister, and the sons of Zeruiah, we don't know necessarily who their father was or fathers, although here it says brother Abishai, but they're called sons of Zeruiah. They may not have had the same father, or the father may have left, or Zeruiah just simply did not want to admit who the father was. And so we don't know those situations. But here, Joab makes a very insightful statement. Now, first off, laying the scene, the Ammonites see now, they stink before David. So they know the war's on. There's going to be war. And so Joab is sent. And Joab goes and he divides. He ends up having to divide the people. Because the Ammonites hired the Syrians. Now, Ammon is to the east of Jerusalem. Syria is to the north. And so the Syrians would have come out of the north. They would have come down the King's Highway on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And they would have come down through there. Now, Syria still exists. And the nation that occupies the area of the Moabites and the Ammonites still exists. And that nation is Jordan, otherwise known as Transjordan, because it was on one side of the Jordan. And then the Canaan is on the other side. It's referred to as Cisjordan in some really old maps back during the British Mandate. In the early part of the 1900s, you'll see modern-day Jordan referred to as Transjordan, which is across Jordan, is what that means. That's all that word means. It's across. It's across Jordan from Canaan. And so even the name of the capital city of modern-day Jordan harkens back to the Ammonites. It's Ammon, Jordan, Ammon. And that is very close to Rabbah, the capital city of the Ammonites. And so Ammon and Moab were in that general area, and modern day Jordan is the covers the same area that the Ammonites did. So the children of Ammon were to the due east, the Syrians were to the north, mostly to the northeast. So it makes sense that the Syrians would come in from the north. And so that's what happened. So as Joab goes, he sees this band on his, if he's headed towards Rabbah, he sees on his left hand the Syrians coming out of the north. He says, okay, those are Syrians. Those aren't Ammonites. Those are hired soldiers. And they're probably very good soldiers. So he and his brother Abishai convene a little conference together. They get together and they say, okay. Joab says, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take the best. I'm going to take the choice and go after these Syrians because they're better soldiers. And you take the rest of the people and go after Ammon. And if we have problems, send message and I'll come help you. I'll come help you if the Ammonites are too hard for you, and then I'll send after you for help if the Syrians are too hard for me. We'll help each other. Now that is a great statement made by Joab. It really is. It shows that Joab was a general with some thoughts behind it. He's got some strategy going on. He understands that there's going to be an issue here. He understands that they're going to have to split up. They don't really have a choice. They're going to have to split up, and otherwise they're going to be fighting a battle on two fronts. Might as well intentionally fight that battle on two fronts rather than have it happen accidentally. So Joab's splitting up, but then he makes an amazing statement. I dearly love. You know, Joab has his problems. Especially like in latter years, he went after Adonijah. He lost respect for David and he went after Adonijah and it ended up costing him his life after David died. But here in verse number 12, we find an amazing statement. First off, we find some words that harken back to what Moses had to say to Joshua, and then what the Lord had to say to Joshua, and what the people had to say to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage is what Joshua was told. Here it is, be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. All right. Joab has hit upon the recipe for victorious Christian life here. the Lord do that which seemeth him good. What is he saying? He's saying, and let the Lord's will be done. Let the Lord's will be done. Now, this is not a man who comes about this easily. This is the man who instigated the fight with the men of Ishbosheth. This is the man who later on gets pretty, he follows orders. We'll look at that in the next chapter. We're going to find out just how literally Joab will follow orders. Joab is no coward. Joab is no weakling. Joab is the general of the army. He's the one who went up the gutter and conquered the city of Jerusalem now. I mean, think about it. This is not a weak man, but this is a man that understands that it's got to be the Lord's will. Now, I talked about that a little bit last week. Was it really God's will for him to go to war with Ammon? I mean, David could have sent messengers again and tried to patch things over with the Ammonites, with Hanun and his princes. I mean, it's pretty rough when David's royal envoy, his messengers go, they're not armed. They go and they have a message of comfort to the king, Hanun, about his father. And the princes of Ammon says, don't listen to them. David's just spying. He's looking and seeing what the weaknesses are. And so then they did these messengers dirty in the way they treated them, shaving their beards half off and cutting their clothes half off and making them a laughingstock. They humiliated them. They probably, as they run them out of the town of Rabbah, they probably laughed and pointed and talked about their nakedness. It was a rough situation for these men. They were humiliated. And David is not having any of it. And so the children of Ammon saw that they stunk before David. Well, they brought it on themselves. It's not like David went with an armed force and says, all right, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. And we are going to look into the full history of Ammon. We talked about that last week. But I wanted to get this situation past us before we did. As I was studying it, the Lord said, don't go back yet. You need to study this. You need to study this first. You need to study what's said here first. Because I believe Joab knew the history. I believe Joab knew the history. And again, we're going to go into that. We will go into the history of Ammon and Moab in the next several weeks. There's some important things. There's some important things to be found that give us an idea of why Joab says this. Because the history was, Israel was not going to have the land of Ammon. Why was David fighting Ammon? Well, they insulted his messengers. But was that God's will? Joab knew the history. Joab knew what was up. Joab knew where things were and had been all these years with Ammon. There's a long history here now with Ammon. And of course, immediately previous, Nahash, the king of Ammon, besieged Jabesh-Gilead specifically to get Saul to react so that he could fight Saul. The Ammonites were the instigators in both cases. Here, David is defending the honor of his messengers more than anything else. He's not looking to conquer the land. He's looking to make Ammon his subject. He's not looking to conquer it and destroy them. He's looking to humiliate them like his messengers were humiliated. That's his idea. But Joab understands that they're not sure if it's the will of God for them to do this or not. I believe Joab's got it in his head. I believe that Joab has it in his head that David and he are both unsure about whether this is the right thing to do or not. They sent a message of peace. I bet when those messengers sent their message back that there was some discussions to be had in the royal palace. I believe there were some serious discussions, and people brought up the history, and people brought up what had happened in the past and what God had said they could and could not do about Ammon in the past. I believe the full history was brought out, and they went line by line to see, is it the right thing? And they found it was not exactly clear cut. It wasn't as clear cut. And you know, that's one of the things that we often run into as Christians. Some decisions we have to make, you'll have to study up and say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the word really means about this. My number one rule of applying scripture in cases where the scripture isn't very clear is, when in doubt, don't. When it comes to doing something that might possibly be construed as wrong or as sin. Instead of pushing right up next to the line to see what you can get away with, when in doubt, don't. Don't push that line at all. And I realize it is human nature to want to push lines and push boundaries and try to see just how much you can get away with. That's human nature. I know that. But that's not God's nature. God wants us not to push the line and see where the permissive will of God is. He wants us to wait upon the Lord and let the Lord do the leading to find the perfect will of God. And so here Joab is saying these words. He alludes to that idea when he says what he says, which is, let's see what the Lord's will is. Or to reread it in verse number 12, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. He's saying, let the Lord's will be done. Let's see what the Lord does here. We'll help each other. We'll retreat if we have to, and I'll help you, and you can help me, and we'll get out of this mess together if we have to retreat. I think that's what he's talking about when he says, if the Ammonites are too strong for you, you talk to me and I'll help you. Well, for him to help Abishai means he's got to retreat from fighting the Syrians, and vice versa. For Abishai to have helped him, then he would have to retreat from fighting the Ammonites, meaning they're in retreat. That's what they're in. And he says, let's see what the Lord will do. Let's see what the Lord wants. Let's see what the Lord does here. That's Joab's attitude. And that ought to be our attitude going into any circumstance. We ought to have the attitude that, you know, I'm not 100% sure. Let's see what the Lord does. Let's see where the Lord leads. And in many times I'll pray, Lord, if it's not your will, close the door. But if it is your will, Lord, as I step through this door, I just need to see you working. I need to see how you are and how you work. And you know, I've seen a few things here lately, especially that the Lord's working in certain ways and not in others. And it is so wonderful and so strengthening to my faith when I see the Lord working some things out and the Lord lining up some things, showing me that he's still working in the background. He may not be working in the foreground like I would like to see it, but he's still there. He's still seeing. He's still bringing some detailed things to pass. And, you know, sometimes it's in little things. Sometimes it's in really, really small things or small seeming things. They're not small to the Lord. Nothing's really small to him. Nothing's really large to him because he's God and he's all powerful. But Joab here has the right idea. Now, does it work out? Does it work out? Let's continue reading here down the next few verses and let's see. Verse number 13, and Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. Now, there's going to be something happen with the Syrians here in a minute. But here we see that the battle, the Syrians flee, the Ammonites flee, and Joab does not have the orders to destroy them. So he returns to Jerusalem. All right. Verse 15. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together, and Hadarezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river, and they came to Helam. And Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. Now that's, the Lord's with him. The Lord's with David. He doesn't even hardly have to fight. They flee. They flee before him. That's because God's with him. And that's because Joab said, let's see what the Lord will do. Let's see what the Lord will do. If you're willing to say, let the Lord do whatever seemeth good to him, let the Lord do whatever he wills. We're not trying to bend the will of God to what we want. We're trying to be obedient to the will of God. We're out there, we're in the battle, and we'll say, let's see what the Lord will do about it. And lo and behold, the Lord causes the enemy to flee. The enemy don't want to even engage in battle anymore. That's when you know the Lord's in it, by the way. That's when you really know the Lord is in it. We're going to continue in our study next week, the Lord willing, of the history of Ammon and Moab as the Lord leads. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And join us again next time for the I Want to Know More podcast.